Could you briefly talk about the importance of pinyon and juniper ecosystems?
This is a really kind of widespread vegetation type in the southwestern U.S., so they're abundant across Arizona, New Mexico, large portions of Colorado, Utah, and these woodlands are kind of semi-arid woodlands. They form the lower tree line and support a tremendous amount of biodiversity. There's certain wildlife species that rely really heavily on the pine seeds produced by pinyon pine. And they're also really commonly grazed in the U.S. Southwest. One thing that's really unique about pinyon pine is they produce these pine nuts that are highly nutritious and that have been consumed by Native Americans, and commercial pine nut harvesters harvest them every year.
Right. And the Western Shoshone in Nevada have ceremonies every year when they harvest pine nuts.
Pinyon pine especially has just been a very kind of culturally important tree, and the pine nuts that they produce have, there's kind of a lot of different Native American groups that really highly value their seeds. If you haven't tried one, I highly recommend it.
Talk about what you found out about climate change and the pinyon juniper ecosystem in the Four Corners area of the U.S.
In the Four Corners region, there's been a lot of widespread pinyon pine mortality that occurred in the early 2000s due to a combination of a multi-year drought and hotter temperatures. And so there's areas that have experienced over 90% pinyon pine mortality due to this kind of hotter drought. So a lot of my work has really been looking at whether or not these trees are going to come back after this hot drought and what factors kind of promote their ability to be able to regenerate and come back, and, you know, which areas might we see a transition to juniper-dominated, more savanna-type ecosystem?
Well, a large part of the Roaring Fork Valley is in PJ ecosystem. On a scale from 0 to 10, 0 being not at all and 10 being extremely, how vulnerable is this ecosystem to a warming climate?
That's a great question. And so I want to give the caveat that I haven't worked in the Roaring Fork Valley. That area, to my understanding, didn't experience the high degree of mortality that a lot of areas did experience, which makes me less concerned relative to other areas, for example, around Mesa Verde National Park that experienced really high levels of mortality and where we're seeing regions without much regeneration. And so kind of getting back to your question of on a scale of 0 to 10, with 0 being no effect and 10 being extremely vulnerable, I would think the Roaring Fork Valley would be more in the middle, because it doesn't seem to have experienced high mortality compared to other regions in pinyon juniper woodlands. But because pinyon juniper woodlands do appear to be particularly vulnerable to changes in climate, given that it's a very water-stressed ecosystem, is why I wouldn't put it at, you know, a 0 or 1 category.
I've noticed around my house, which is at about 6,000 feet, that pinyon pines are starting to turn brown. And, you know, I mean, I've lived where I live right now for 20 years, and every now and then you see part of a tree turning brown, and it's old and it's dying. But this is a little different. And it's,
yeah, I don't know if you've been to the areas of high mortality in portions of southwestern Colorado or New Mexico. It's like there's no live trees.
I mean, and this was the drought that was, what, the early 2000s? We're approaching a drought right now. I mean, climate scientists say that Colorado, at least this part of Colorado, is in early drought.
Yeah, and actually northern Arizona is. We're actually potentially going to be setting up some research down there this summer, because it's like looking like it's going to be a really bad drought there.
So with drought after drought after drought, will that just kill them all off?
I mean, trees need water.
Right.
So I think it's going to depend on the intensity and how long it is. And the big thing with the early 2000 drought that I didn't mention is it wasn't just that it was a drought, but it was that it was during that the temperatures were a lot warmer, because that just increases trees' water stress a lot more. And so there's like been droughts that have happened in the past. So in the 1950s, that didn't cause really high mortality. It wasn't a hot drought like it was in the early 2000s.
So it's a combination of hotter temperatures and a drought.
Exactly.
Well, Dr. Miranda Redman, thanks very much for taking the time to talk with me today. And we'll look forward to hearing your talk on Wednesday in Carbondale and Thursday in Aspen. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.